What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Wolfpack Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Clemens, here with me, as always, Micah Plant and Mike Body. What's up, fellas? Micah Plant, you
got music still playing. Why not?
I love the song.
You cannot figure out for the life of you.
I love the song. What do you want?
Intro.
Too much technology for it, man. Way too much technology.
Tell your coworker I love the music.
Just brutal, guys. What's going on? How you guys doing tonight?
Fine. It's cold.
It is cold here in Wisconsin, finally, man. As it got down.
Right after a 76-degree weather day. I mean, yeah.
That's usually how it goes.
Yeah. Working outside, try that, man. It's brutal.
I have worked outside my entire life.
Did you work yesterday and today?
I worked yesterday. I did not work today.
Nobody wants to hear about you guys working. They want to hear about fantasy football.
Do they want to hear about that fantastic game we watched in the rain last night? That was awesome.
Hey, they want to hear about how good Deontay Foreman was.
It was really good, man. They didn't get down 35 to nothing like they did the week before, so they could actually run the ball. You know, but that game was awful. Just watching Marcus Mariota spike the ball into the ground 2 yards in front of Kyle Pitts over and over again. I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah, they need to make the switch here soon to Desmond Ridder. Give him a shot. I mean, they realistically are not going to win the division, especially after that loss that really knocked them out, especially with Tampa Bay. So play Ridder. Let's see what he got.
After the Bears upset him here next week, they'll make the switch to Desmond Ridder.
Is it really an upset?
Absolutely, Connor. Let's go Deontay.
Yes. But before we get started into our game previews, just a reminder to please like, please subscribe to the Fantasy Six Pack YouTube channel and head on over to fantasysixpack.net/plans and check out our memberships, guys. Join the Discord. Ton of fun over there. You get a bunch of rankings and stuff, and we got 3 guys within the top 30 of the Fantasy Pros competition. So,
I mean, you could say it a little happier. I know you're not one of the top 30, but
that's because I don't rank. But without further ado, guys, let's just jump into it. And just a friendly reminder, guys, we have an early game this week. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Seattle Seahawks are playing in Munich, so it's a 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. But before that, we got the Ike, Ravens.
Where's Munich?
Germany.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fan, man. Of course I know this.
I know. It's your favorite, not your favorite team, but you got, what is it, Bayern? Isn't that the team?
Bayern Munich, yeah.
Bayern Munich, thank
Pretty
you.
Pretty sure they're playing a game after the Bucks do. I thought I saw that.
That should be fun. Tom Brady's going to win a game, and he's going to attend a football game in Germany.
Football.
Football.
We do got 4 teams on bye this week, guys. We got Baltimore, Cincinnati, New England, and the New York Jets. But jump back into this Seattle versus Tampa Bay game over in Germany. Like, starting with you, man. Geno Smith has been solid this season as a QB1. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on him in this matchup against Tampa Bay.
I actually have him as a QB1 this week, so he's been in
last week. That was
he's been actually top 12 or 14 in my rankings for a while now because he continually impresses. Although when Kenneth Walker came into starting, he kind of like took a dip a little bit, but he's still startable considering the rest of the quarterbacks are kind of brutal right now.
Yeah. Who would you rather start in this one? Would you rather start Geno or would you start Tom Brady here?
Tom still, just because I love Tom and I trust Tom more than Geno, to be honest. I always will.
And the Seahawks defense on paper is not good, man, but they've been playing a lot better recently.
They've got a young
actually on
this Tariq Woolen dude. That corner,
yeah.
That Tariq Woolen kid.
Don't forget about the other Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. They've had a solid Boye
Amafe. I mean, I can't remember the pass.
Jordan Brooks for the middle linebacker is pretty good.
Yeah, the pass rusher they got from the Chargers, really good. I think he's only a second year, but he's been killing it. He's like second in sacks in the league, and nobody even knows his name.
Right.
And that you're starting all of Geno's weapons here, besides the tight end. Jumping over to Tampa Bay, though, we kind of talked about Brady already. Mike, I want to talk to you here about this backfield. Rashad White stealing some touches away from Fat Lenny. So I'm curious your thoughts. Is Rashad White startable, and are you kind of starting to shy away from Leonard Fournette this week and moving forward?
I mean, we're already talking about a team that doesn't run the ball very much. Last week, Rashad White got 8 carries to Fournette's 9, but Fournette makes his hay in the passing game. He got 7 targets, 5 receptions. So, I mean, I'm still playing Leonard Fournette. I'm a little scared here because Rashad White is eating into his value, and there were reports that he could get more work, you know, moving down the stretch here, which would make sense if the offense is struggling. You know,
let's get a playmaker involved. Which is next week.
Yeah.
But I got the report this week for it.
So, and plus, Leonard Fournette's pissed off too, so who knows? They might do something weird.
But the nice thing is, Fournette gets the majority of the PPR work, the catching work, so that's what makes him still startable, in my opinion.
Sure. And you're starting the 2 receivers still. And then what about Kate Otten, guys? We've seen him with Cameron Bate being down injured. We saw him catch the game-winning touchdown for Tampa Bay last week. Mike, is he a top 12 tight end this week?
Man, you take the touchdown away, he gets 5 for 68, which, I mean, is about
nice
11 points. Yeah, it's 11 points, but I don't know if it's tight ends are shit. That could make it in there. No, he needs a touchdown. If he gets a touchdown, he'll be a tight end one. That's his contributing factor there.
I do. I like Odin without Brate there for sure.
Plus, isn't Brate possibly coming back?
He might be. I'm not 100% sure. We can jump into our next game. We got the Minnesota Vikings at perhaps the Josh Allen-less Buffalo Bills, but let's start with the Vikings first. We saw Hockenson acclimate really well last week, Ike, in his first game. I think he saw 9 targets and had a solid fantasy day. Is this just going to kill the production of Adam Thielen and a little bit of Justin Jefferson, or can all these guys coexist together for fantasy purposes?
I think it hurts Thielen more so than Justin Jefferson. And obviously KJ Osborne is droppable for sure. And most leagues, but, Hockenson runs kind of like that middle area that Thielen does, so it definitely takes away from Thielen. I don't know exactly how many targets Thielen got last week with Hockenson getting 9.
Two less. He got 7. But he only caught 3 of them. That was the problem. Gone. Sorry.
Obviously, Justin Jefferson's still top 3 to 5 wide receiver the rest of the year. You can't worry about that. Honestly, Hockenson's probably top 5 tight end for the rest of the year, and you got to start him every week.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree that Hockenson, he's a set it and forget it tight end in this offense.
Yep.
Yeah, Kirky was my guy this offseason, and he's been perfectly Kirky. He's been fine. In this matchup against Buffalo, man, this isn't the defense of old, really. I'm curious your thoughts on Kirk this week. Do you have him ranked as a top 12 quarterback, Ike, or no?
I do not, actually. I have him 14, I believe. Let me take a gander real quick. 13. I have him 13.
You have Daniel Jones over him or no?
No. Geno Smith, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, obviously, because he plays Detroit. And probably the weird one is Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, that one's all right.
I put Jimmy 12.
He's got a good matchup. We'll get into that later, but I feel you. But, Mike, let's talk about this Buffalo Bills offense now. It might be led by Case Keenum, I guess. Case Keenum revenge game against Minnesota. I'm curious your thoughts on what do you think this offense is going to look like with Case Keenum under center?
Well, it ain't going to be the high-flying offense we've been accustomed to with the Bills and Josh Allen. I talked about it a little bit with Joe last night. Personally, I think, you bring a backup in, you got to play ball control, guys. You got a great defense in Buffalo. So you play ball control with Case Keenum and you try to get the run game a little bit more involved here. And I think the biggest benefactor is Devin Singletary. Maybe Nyheim Hines. Because Case Keenum, I mean, you guys remember Case Keenum. He led the league in completion percentage because he's captain checkdown. All right. So these running backs are going to get their passing work. And I believe them to get more rushing value. So I think those are the biggest benefactors.
Mm-hmm. And now the wide receivers, Diggs.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could see Diggs getting peppered with targets since these guys have chemistry. Going back to
Davis probably shouldn't be started. The
Vikings together. Davis, I don't know about Gabe. Yeah, he's definitely worrisome with not being attached to Josh Allen. I would tend to agree. If you can look elsewhere and start someone else, I would advise doing that as well. Same with Dawson Knox at the tight end position. He's not startable with Josh Allen out, if he is out. Jump into our next game. Mike alluded to it earlier. The Detroit Lions at the Chicago Bears, man. This Lions offense started out really good. Then it went really bad. And then it's starting to come together a little bit here. Ike, do you like Jared Goff in this matchup against the Bears? And is he startable this week?
Deeper leagues, yeah. But if you're playing in 10, 12ers, I probably would suggest not doing so.
Yeah. You have Garoppolo and stuff over him?
Yes.
I did write about him. He's my start quarterback this week. I think he's going to be fine. Just now that I think about it, I don't know if he's going to get enough volume because I just feel like he's going to be
very run heavy. I feel
they're going to run the ball as much as they can. We saw Jamal Williams get 25 carries. DeAndre Swift saw two last week. Like, Swift was involved in the passing game because he's good at it. And that, obviously that's what the Lions are going to use him as the rest of the season, as he's not fully healthy. With what you saw last week, are you comfortable starting him, or is it just Jamal Williams you're starting in this backfield?
Pretty sure I saw Swift was fully healthy. I don't know if that is correct.
There was no injury designation for him.
All right, so
take that as you will, but technically on paper, that's healthy.
You could probably maybe see 10 carries for him. They're obviously going to give Williams more carries and the goal line touches. But Swift will get the passing flex worthy. I wouldn't be throwing him in as your running back one or two, that's for sure. But
if he is 100% healthy and we see him get less than 10 carries this game, something's going on here.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to make you wonder. And it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense if he's fully healthy. But Mike, jumping over to the Bears side of things, we got to talk about him. JF1, Justin Fields, man. Just been absolutely outstanding these last 4 weeks. Does it continue against this awful Detroit Lions offense?
I mean, that's an easy question. That's probably – you just threw me a curveball in the zone, man. Yeah, absolutely.
Dinger.
It's the Lions, they allow the most – I mean, not the most. They're top three at allowing the most rushing yards. They're up there with Houston and the Bears. So this, I suspect this game to be a very run heavy game, but being that both of the defenses are middle of the pack, both of the offenses are middle of the pack. I mean, it could be, it's that same, you know, thing we said a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember what was the game exactly, but it's either going to be really low scoring or really high scoring in this matchup. It's not going to be one of those. Game. Yeah. It's going to be a quick one.
Too. Yeah.
But it's going to be like 20 to like 20. It's not going to be 20 to 21. It's going to be like 28-31 or like 13-10.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So yeah. I'm hoping it's, you know, the upwards.
And that, let me give you a hard one. Herbert or Montgomery?
I still go Montgomery.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the splits. He got double the amount of rushing work. And I mean, granted, because Justin Fields is not checking down as much because he's taking off, he's still got the only two targets for a running back. So it's still Montgomery. I'm playing Montgomery against Detroit Lions this week. I like it. He's going to fall into the end zone at least once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
I wouldn't be surprised if Herbert does too, though. Go on.
Are we starting Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney now too? Each catching a touchdown last week. Cole Kmet catching two. 3 in 2 weeks for that, man. After not catching a touchdown all last season. It's crazy how touchdown regression to the mean works, man. All of a sudden, you just get a whole shit ton after not get. Same thing with Miles Sanders that we saw earlier this season. after he didn't score forever, all of a sudden he's just getting bang, 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 finding the end zone.
So I don't think you can start Cole Kmet consistently unless this offense does what it does against Miami every week. All right. Because even though they scored 30 plus points last week, Justin Fields only threw it 28 times and only had 123 passing yards, guys. I mean, that's not enough of a pie to go around for Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney to both be alive. So I think it's Mooney you can play because he's really the main target. Maybe Claypool gets – I know I heard Claypool is going to get mixed in a little bit more, you know, so that might help. But that might also take away from Cole Kmet. So I'm not high on Cole Kmet, but I do like Mooney.
Right on, right on. Before we jump into our next game, we got a couple questions here. Trade Pittman for Mark Andrews. I would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to figure out a situation for tight end this week since Andrews is on bye. But, yeah, make that trade. You're getting a top two tight end.
And then from Trey, evening to you. Full PPR, Judy or Josh Palmer, thanks and good luck this week. Good luck to you as well, Trey.
That's a good one because he's obviously the lead guy. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams is out, but Judy's got a soft matchup against the Titans guys.
Yeah, he does.
He's had double digit points in the past three games. I'm pretty sure. I'll go double check that real quick. If you guys want to give some analysis,
the Chargers get San Francisco on Sunday Night Football.
I go Judy.
I think I actually lead Josh Palmer. I'll lean into him being the number one guy for Herbert once again.
That's Eckler. Everybody.
Oh, yeah. They were on bye week.
He doesn't comment.
Sure. All right. So the last three games, Judy has 8.4, 16.6, and 18.3. And that was against the Jets and Jaguars. So I think I lean Judy just a little bit more. He's got a tough matchup against the Niners, guys. It's not easy. I'm actually a little scared to play Herbert against you this week, Dylan. I won't lie. He's down his two weapons, and it's a good defense.
Yeah, it's not great, Bob. Jumping back into it, guys, we got the Jacksonville Jaguars taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, while I was doing some research this week, I saw that Trevor Lawrence is kind of high up there in consensus. I'm curious your thoughts on him this week against Kansas City, whose defense – is blah, I guess, is the best way to put it.
I just saw that they were pretty much not dead last, but close to the bottom of the league and a lot of the passing yardage given up and all that. So if you have Trevor Lawrence, I'd probably start him over most quarterbacks. I have him top 10, so
nice, actually, nice.
But I'd start him over Brady probably.
That's interesting Kirk. To me there. That's really close. Starting him over Kirk, I understand, against the Bills. Let's just touch on this backfield real quick because, you know, Travis Etienne's my guy, and this is his backfield now.
25 carries, wasn't it, last week?
Yeah, just an absurd amount. And then how do you feel about Christian Kirk in this one?
Trevor Lawrence, for sure, start
him, yeah.
Yeah, Etienne, the last three games, 100-plus rushing yards. Last person to do that on the Jaguars was?
Fred Taylor.
Maurice Jones-Drew. Nice try, though.
Fuck! Me and Dylan have the same thought process. So.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Thank you very much. Please come again.
Mike, let's jump over to the Kansas City side of things. There's really only one question here, because you're starting Juju now. You're starting Travis Kelce, and you're starting Pat Mahomes. Who in the hell are we starting out of this three-headed, I'm not going to say monster, this three-headed whatever this is in Kansas City?
I mean, if you really want to be a risque, you're starting Marquez Valdez-Scantling outside of Juju and
No, you ain't.
Outside of Juju and Kelce, but I mean, you gave me kind of a dumb question, to be honest with you, because obviously you're starting Juju and Kelce.
What did I say?
You said offense.
I said, who are you starting out of this three-headed whatever it is between the running backs? Sorry.
Oh, that's my apologies then. I mean, I'm still starting Clyde, unfortunately. He gets the important work with the red zone. Isaiah Pacheco was named the starter, and Clyde Edwards Clyde Edwards-Helaire only got two less rushing attempts than him, and he got the passing work. I know McKinnon gets majority of the passing work, which makes him a little bit viable at flex in a matchup where the Chiefs need to pass. I don't think they're going to need to pass very much against the Jaguars. That's the thing, though. So it's probably going to be CEH when they get in the red zone. He's going to get the red zone work.
Yeah, I don't love any of those guys, man. It's a kind of nightmare for fantasy football over there. But jumping into our next game, we got the Cleveland Browns at the Miami Dolphins. Browns are coming off a bye. Jacoby Brissett, we know what he is. Not starting him. Nick Chubb's the man. Kareem Hunt, we've seen him in the past show flashes, but not really a whole lot this year, and he's pretty much been touchdown or bust. Is there any way you're starting him this week with confidence?
I would hope you have any better option, because he has been way worse than I thought he would this year. I don't even think he's – has he broken in the top 24 running backs? I'm going to check real quick.
I would assume the weeks that he scored a touchdown, he had to have been close. But it really hasn't been great. And outside of, David and Joku and Mark Cooper and Nick Chubb, this offense as a whole, the rest really hasn't been good. I mean, DPJ is sprinkled in with some targets.
He was an RB27 last week, but they were destroying Cincinnati, so he probably got a decent amount of carries in garbage time, which won't happen when they're actually in the game. It's going to go to Nick Chubb, so.
Mm-hmm. What's the last thing we've heard on David Njoku? Is he going to give it a go, or is it out, right? Out talking?
Yeah, he's out.
Yeah, he's out.
Oh, okay. Right on.
I like Donovan Peoples-Jones. He's playing 95%, 95.8% of the snaps the past 2 weeks. Target-wise. Yeah, he's on the field. He's got a 17.2% target share the past three games, and it's not been great, and target share is skewed here. But he's appealing in good matchups where, the Dolphins are just going to score a shit ton on these Browns.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to throw the ball. So, he's a little bit appealing as a flex option this week. If you're really desperate, throw him in the wide receiver three. But, you're praying at that point.
Deshaun back, he might actually mm-hmm. be serviceable.
Hopefully they don't get fucking Will Fuller.
This game has shootout potential for sure if Jacoby Brissett is just fine, especially with the way Nick Chubb runs the ball. We saw the Bears offense did against Miami last week. And like you said, Mike, this Miami Dolphins offense is just absolutely cooking right now.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill's insane. Jalen Waddle's awesome. Tua has pretty much a must start every week, except in the handful of matchups against really good defenses. But Mike,
don't start him against the Patriots.
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I'm going to give you another backfield question, man. We saw Raheem Mostert just come in there and out carry Raheem Mostert last week and out snap him, I want to say, by two in his first week. Is this Jeff Wilson coming in saying, hey, man, this is my backfield now?
It kind of seems that way. Even in the red zone, Jeff Wilson took the majority of the work. He got five total targets he got five total touches in the red zone compared to Raheem Mostert's two. Mostert just got lucky and scored on one of those two attempts to salvage his day. It seems like it's Jeff Wilson full steam ahead.
Yeah, agreed. 100%. And then Gesicki, man, he's doing Mike Gesicki things. He's good 1 week. He catches
two touchdowns. He's touchdown dependent. That's
the other weeks. Yeah. Streamable tight end, and you're feeling iffy about it. Excuse me.
Not really, no. Past 2 weeks, two targets. We're talking
not good,
really, Bob. Yeah, we're talking really bad here. He's only got 32 targets on the year, 22 receptions on the year. He's probably got how many? I haven't even looked yet at how many touchdowns he has completely for the year. Four on the year, so four divided by 22. He's pretty much got a 20% touchdown percentage right now, which is going to drop, guys. He's only scoring touchdowns. It's not yards.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He's not startable in my opinion. If you're desperate as all hell and there's nothing else in a deep league, go ahead. But I'm not starting him in 10 teamers.
Fair enough. Next game, and this should we should be able to fly through this game, guys. The Houston Texans at the New York Giants. Let me just start off by saying you're really only starting Dameon Pierce on the Texans.
This should be a fast game, too.
Yes. Brandon Cooks is going to play, but he hasn't shown you anything warranting a start. Jumping over the Giants side of things, you're starting Saquon. You don't love any of the receivers. But, guys, I'll just kind of throw it to both of you guys here. Because I've seen Daniel Jones being a likable stream this week. And I don't know about that. Because this Texans run defense is so terrible. And I know he can run with his, he can run his own. But I just feel I see Saquon just running it down their throat this week. And then Jones not having enough passing volume to warrant a top 12 fantasy day. Am I right or what are you guys thinking here? Go ahead.
You're kind of on the right track, but you're not. Only because Daniel Jones doesn't make his hay in the passing game. He makes his hay in the running game. And he's going to run all over the Houston Texans just like Saquon's going to do it. So I think he can just as easily get a touchdown, get 60 to 80 yards, and just get enough passing work to make him relevant.
Sure.
I'd start him over Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. You shouldn't be rostering Aaron right now, guys.
Unless you're deep leagues, yeah.
10-teamers.
Super flex.
Yeah, if you're 12 and deeper, super flex and all that, you can have him. But
shit, even 10-team super flex, you should probably have him too.
I'm a Packers fan. Drop his ass.
Next game, guys, we got here. Just another gross one. We got the New Orleans Saints at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Andy Dalton, he's Andy Dalton, guys. You're not starting him unless, like we were just talking about, super flex league.
Raiders.
And there's a TJ Watt sighting this week, so the Steelers defense might be a little bit better. You're starting Alvin Kamara. I'm curious your thoughts on Chris Olave here, Ike, against the Steelers secondary. Is he a set it and forget it type guy this week?
Oh, yeah. Steelers secondary is banged up still, if I'm not mistaken. They've just been gashed by wide receiver ones.
Yeah.
Technically, Olave is the wide receiver one now because Thomas is out. So, yeah, he's should be in your starting lineups for sure.
Agreed. Jumping over to the Steelers side of things. Mike, looky here. Another backfield question. We're getting talks about Jalen Warren stealing touches from Najee Harris, and maybe he's going to take the starting job, even though he was a first-round pick, wasn't he? Like the 30-ish.
It was
pick.
It was 20s, but yeah.
25-ish, yeah. It's just weird that Tomlin would come out and say that, man. Najee's just not healthy, I guess. Yeah, he has looked bad. But what is your take here? Like, I answered a bunch of start sit questions, like, should we start Jalen Warren? Are we benching Najee for Jalen Warren? You know, stuff like that. I'm not going that far, but there is some people who are willing to do that stuff.
So I'd probably bench Najee.
I mean, only if you got a reason. Only for another option. I mean, if you've got another good option to do it, I mean, yes, but there's not. I mean,
probably good as a stretch.
Yeah, RBs are not – they're few.
There's been some running backs through the waiver wire. Like, I would play Jeff Wilson over him. I'd play Raheem Mostert probably over him.
Would you have played Deonta Foreman over him last night? Would you have played Devonta?
Oh, yeah.
What are you thinking, Mike?
Yeah, I would have played Deonta Foreman over him, yeah.
I'd probably stop it at – let's see here. Hold on.
Yeah, I'd play Deonta Foreman. But the thing is you are not – I mean, dude – past two games still Jalen Warren's hasn't even cracked a 30% snap share. I mean, even if he gets more involved, what is it going to be, 50 to Najee's 77 and 71%? I mean, Najee is still startable if you have no other options. If you're deciding between Najee and a player like Jalen Warren of that and that
yeah
caliber,
it should be Najee.
You're starting Najee. But if you got a
what about Singletary?
Yeah, you're starting Singletary over Najee, in my opinion, this week because of the Case Keenum news. But it is tough because we're talking like Jalen Warren's like RB4, RB5 right now. If you got an RB3, that's pretty much what Najee Harris is right now, guys. He's an RB2, low-end RB2, RB3 at the moment. So if you got an RB3, you can easily exchange that out.
And then Montgomery,
yeah, easily.
See, that's close. Not easily, but that one's
I have him close to
against the matchup.
Herbert, actually. Would you do Khalil Herbert or Najee? I have him that low.
No, I wouldn't do Khalil Herbert because I still consider Khalil Herbert as a Jalen Warren.
Just a probably more opportunity, I would assume.
Khalil Herbert, the past two games, has a 40% snap share and a 27% snap share. I mean, it's not that much better than Jalen.
But let's just touch on this, guys, before we jump over to the next game. With Claypool being traded to the Bears, that frees up.
This is the question I wanted.
This frees up a 19% target share. Who does this benefit the most, George Pickens, or does it benefit Muthman or Deontay Johnson more, Mike?
All of them.
Yes, good fucking answer, right? Good, smart man. biggest benefactor, in my opinion, and you guys can disagree with me, Pat Freiermuth. All right, because now you got a rookie quarterback who loves throwing over the middle. It's not Claypool anymore. It's Pat Freiermuth taking those, you know, nice, easy dump downs, essentially. But I do like Pickens and Deontay Johnson both, because Deontay Johnson, he doesn't score a touchdown yet this year, guys.
He's getting expected fantasy points because Godwin hasn't scored either, and he's like top 10.
I don't know what he's in expected fantasy points, but he's eighth in total targets for wide receivers.
That means he's up there in expected fantasy points.
Like he's getting 9.5 targets a game, and he hasn't scored a touchdown yet. It's just all abysmal receiving yard games. As soon as he gets a touchdown, you're gonna love playing him again.
Right. Or when he gets the 15 targets, 10 catches, 100 or 80 yards, and a touchdown or whatever.
Sure, sure. Go ahead, jump into the next one, guys. We got the Denver Broncos at the Tennessee Titans. I didn't miss the Broncos while they were on bye week, guys. I'm tired of hearing them. They stink. But like,
Would you have rather seen them or the Falcons on Thursday Night Football last night?
The Falcons.
Michael Plant, by the way, Deontay Johnson expected fantasy points 11th in the league. So he should be a top 12 wide receiver based off his volume.
We've seen enough Russ Man on primetime this year, Mike. but let's jump right into the Broncos here. Tennessee is awful against opposing wide receivers. Ike and Cortland Sutton has been awful. I'm curious, who do you have ranked higher, Jerry Jeudy or Cortland Sutton?
Jeudy by, I wouldn't say a lot, but I'd say like 5 to 10. I can check real quick, but I definitely.
Oh, come on. Have the balls.
What do
you
think?
Have the balls.
Why would I put Sutton higher?
You want to win that rankings contest, don't you?
Would you rather start Cortland Sutton or like a George Pickens who we just talked about?
I'd probably go Cortland Sutton this week. For some reason, I have a feeling they just came off their bye. Broncos had a little bit of time to work on shit. I think they get an easy matchup where Russell and his whole wide receiver core can actually kind of figure shit out. And I think this will be where they start ascending. You can actually start being able to use Cortland Sutton and Jeudy every week and all that.
And I feel like I saw that Simmons.
Here now. He said the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I do. I think this is the week, man. I really do. We know Russell is good. We know, or was good. I don't know what happened. Did the fucking Martian from Space Jam take his talent or something? I don't know.
I'm going to clip this, timestamp it, DM fantasy receipts.
That was the hot take of the night, because that the Broncos offense is going to be good.
Boom.
But then 10 seconds out of who's the back you want in this backfield?
Neither.
It's Gordon. I mean, Chase Edmonds, I know Sean's going to, hate me for saying
I forgot about
this.
Chase Edmonds, too. Yeah, you don't want neither of them. I was thinking between Murray and Gordon.
It's Melvin if you got to start him. If you got to start one, it's Melvin. You're not happy about it, though.
Sure.
I mean, hey, Najee or Melvin Gordon? It's Najee Harris for me.
Yeah, it's Najee.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Mike, jumping over to the Tennessee Titans kind of side of things, I'm just going to give you the floor. What do you want to talk about besides Derrick Henry here?
Nothing. Please say nothing. There is nothing.
I mean,
sorry,
we got
choke.
we got news of Tannehill being a true game time decision this week. So I mean, we might get this passing offense back because they did not pass the ball very much with Malik Willis as the quarterback, which really only benefits my boy Derrick Henry. So, Dontrell Hilliard has a little bit of appeal here because they're running the ball so much. Mm-hmm. And he's involved in the passing game because, you know, they're not going to involve Derrick Henry for some reason. But, I mean, it's still the same amount of targets as Henry, so it's not enough because just Henry gets too much of the volume.
Do you guys see Malik Willis's passing chart last week? Every single one of his 13 throws were on the were towards the sideline. Not one went towards the middle of the field.
Jimmy G reincarnate.
Yeah, he can't
read. I mean, at least you can get out to the sideline.
He can't read the middle of the field, though. That's the problem.
No.
And that was his big issue at Liberty, too, I guess I was reading.
Keep an eye on Treylon Burks. I will say that. He's definitely off IR.
Good point.
But still not a lot of volume here to be had. I mean, out of the wide receivers, their leading target leader last week was Robert Woods with two.
But moving on, guys.
Dropless, by the way, and he was the leading target guy. Brutal.
Why do I feel like there's just a shit cloud of games this week? We got the Indianapolis Colts going against the Las Vegas Raiders here too.
The great game, and, man. What are you talking about? Game of the week.
The damn same thing. We just talked about the Titans. We're pretty much talking about the Indianapolis Colts. If JT plays, you're starting him. You're not feeling 100% comfortable with it because this offense sucks right now. Like, Michael Pittman, you're the resident Michael Pittman owner. I'm just curious. Give me your thoughts on him. Panic meter, 10, 5, 0. Where are you at?
It's probably like an 8 with Sam Ehlinger because I've seen Michael Pittman get open. Like, he was wide open on that deep ball. It wasn't like a super deep ball, but Sam Ehlinger missed him just completely. So if I was Pittman, I'd be getting a little pissed off. But if you have better options, like a Judy, you should probably drop him. Or not drop him. Not start him this week.
You play Judy. Oh, would you play George Pickens over Michael Pittman?
No.
No, Pittman still gets at least guaranteed 5 to 6 targets.
Sure. Yeah, I get that.
And plus, they're playing the Raiders. You'd think Sam Ehlinger would –
Bingo.
Figure it out.
Raiders allow the – now they have been dethroned, as I discussed with Joe last night. It's actually because of your boy Justin Fields. Miami Dolphins now allow the most points to quarterbacks.
Nice.
On an average. That's but it's not by much.
Justin Fields dropped.
Yep, that's why. But on the contrary to you, I mean, I'm not very scared with Jonathan Taylor if he's healthy. Yeah. Only because – not only are the Raiders number 2 at allowing the most quarterback points, they're number 3 at allowing the most running back points.
Yeah, that makes sense. Jonathan Taylor,
Montgomery not doing very good last week.
Yep. Yeah. Jonathan Taylor must start if he is healthy. If he's not, it's the Zach Moss show, guys.
Ooh. Or Jordan Wilkins.
Jumping over to the Raiders side of things. Jordan Wilkins. Derek Carr is Derek Carr. You probably don't love him, especially losing two of his main options to IR this week with Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller going bye-bye. But Mike, does this leave the door open for a Mac Hollins resurgence from when we saw earlier this season when we saw him blow up? Can he do it in this matchup against the Colts?
I do like Mac Hollins rest of the season, but this is a tough matchup against the Colts. I mean, they had – Darius Leonard did just go to the IR, so that is a big blow to the Colts defense. But, I mean, they're still not the greatest matchup. I do like Mac. If you're in a pinch, you can play Mac Hollins this week because of Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow going down. It's not the greatest matchup, so, you know, temper expectations. But, God damn it, I love me some Davante Adams this week.
I like Foster, too.
A little bit. I mean, if he's more touchdown dependent, though, because I don't know. You saw Davante Adams 17 targets last week, right?
You might even see 25 this week.
25. Motherfuckers said 25.
I mean, the week before, Matt Collins led with 8 targets over Davante Adams, 5. I know it's an anomaly. It's not going to happen very much, but it's still nice to see.
Might happen a couple times this year already, actually.
It has happened 2 other times.
Bingo.
And guys, the next game we got here, this one's near and dear to Michael Plant's hearts because he's still he's still hanging on for that playoff hope for the Green Bay Packers.
You know me of all people, the most unbiased person.
I'm busted as balls. Well, we got the Dallas Cowboys visiting Lambeau Field, and Mike McCarthy, guys, he's back in Lambeau. Can you imagine if he comes into Lambeau and beats Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, I've already imagined it. It's going to happen.
After the shit that Aaron Rodgers, let me rephrase it. All the nonsense that happened between him and Mike McCarthy towards the end of their tenure together in Green Bay. But that would be,
he has the right move still, though.
Yeah, essentially the Packers chose Aaron Rodgers over Mike McCarthy, and I get it. You're right. It was the right move.
Because the floor is good in the regular season, at least, up until this year.
But jumping to the Cowboys side of things, like coming off their bye week as well. Dak Prescott, are we tempering expectations in this matchup? Packers are a little bit stingy against quarterbacks.
No. You're starting him. I actually have him 7th on my quarterback, so not worried about this Packers defense. Not worried, especially since Rashawn Gary is gone for the season, right?
Yep.
Another pass rusher gone, man. I don't know. It's just Eric Stokes is hurt.
He's actually done for the year too. I got the update.
Yeah, dude. So
there was actually a big meeting between the NFLPA and not a meeting, but a letter brought in about that field for Ford Field, about the turf, about changing the turf on some of those fields because of the injury analytics. If you watched the game last night on Amazon, they talked about it a little bit afterwards. It is kind of interesting because now it's you're going to be hearing about it a little bit more in the future, but that is going to be something that will probably be in the news.
It's the same type of field that the Cowboys use, and that's the one that Sterling Shepard destroyed his knee on, I believe, right?
The thing that I didn't even know that kind of blew my mind is there are many different kinds of turf. It's not just one kind of turf.
Remember, watching the Bears game, they said they went from Kentucky bluegrass to something else. I was like,
Bermuda. Okay.
But that's the problem is the consistency between it, because you go from a grass field to one type of turf field to another type of turf field, and these are where all these injuries start occurring, and don't be surprised if you start hearing that in the near future.
And then like Zeke or Pollard, 10 seconds on it.
Pollard, more explosive, coming off a bye to where they can get him more integrated into the offense. I'm going him.
Then jumping over to the Packers side of things, we're not starting Aaron Rodgers. We mentioned that earlier in the podcast. Aaron Jones is banged up. Sounds like he is going to play, correct?
Yes, I'm not seeing him on the injury report.
You're starting him. The pass catchers, you're starting Alan Lazard. That's about it. Romeo Doubs sprained his ankle. He's out for this Packers. This Packers team's just kind of in shambles right now with injuries as well.
Tanyan's not a bad idea.
Samari Torrey.
Tanyan's solid. Maybe a dart throw for DFS with the guy's name you just said. I'm not even going to try to
Samari Torrey. Practice squatter.
Already took over Amari Rodgers. What is happening?
Amari Rodgers was a whiff. You know what? You know what's funny? The same draft Amari Rodgers was drafted in. You know who the first two picks were? Jordan Love, AJ Dillon.
It's really good draft. By the Packers.
I apologize. That was the next year's draft. That was the year they got Joseph DeGoya. Still just as bad.
Speaking of
AJ Dillon, we just talk about him every week. He's just been a fantasy disappointment this year. Is this week salvageable, or are we just moving on?
You can't start him.
Move on,
this
man.
Offense is, the whole expectation was this offense was going to be explosive enough to where he was flex-worthy. It's not that case.
Yeah.
Enough
value. Now that Aaron Jones looks to escape that injury, A.J. Dillon's almost droppable in 10-team leagues.
You roster him.
Dude, it's close.
He's a high end handcuff. That's what he is.
If Aaron Jones gets injured, guys, I mean, it's going to be AJ Dillon. They'd have nobody else. They're all.
But I mean, he hasn't even shown. What is he averaging? Like 3 point something yards a carry? He hasn't even shown that he's good, to be honest.
He's just going to be if Aaron Jones were to go down with injury, he'd be an RB, a borderline RB2. Because the offense isn't good anymore. If this was the Packers' offense of old, then yeah, I would love having it. But it's not. This offense is bad.
Well, the only thing that was really keeping Aaron Jones afloat was the PPR work and the touchdowns. Aaron Jones had 4 touchdowns on the year and 32 receptions, which is literally double what AJ Dillon has. Mm-hmm. All right, now AJ Dillon, despite you like. Averages 4 yards a carry, you motherfucker.
he only
has 1 touchdown in the year. All right.
And doesn't have very many goal line carries either.
This is true, but he only has 9 less carries than Aaron Jones on the year, which makes him a high value handcuff, just like Dillon stated. You can't drop him. That's the only thing. Because if Aaron Jones go down, he is an instant starter for you.
Yep. But in 10-team leagues, if Jeff Wilson's out there, somehow still, I'd drop Jeff Wilson for...
I'd rather have Jeff Wilson than...
In that case, yes.
Than A.J. Dillon rest of the season as well. But before we jump into our next game, guys, we got a couple live comments. Excuse me. So got a QB concern. Picked up Justin Fields 2 weeks ago, and he went off. Do I substitute Jalen Hurts as my QB one for Fields or hold on to him for a trade piece?
Jalen Hurts is a guy. Man.
Yeah, the Eagles had their bye week already, right, guys? You trade Justin Fields for whatever you need to help your
try and dangle him. Yeah, go check out. Now trading's obviously hard, but go see what roster is playing with.
Needs a quarterback bad.
Yeah, and just go try and fill an easy spot. Don't try to because either way you're gonna win this trade. You're not gonna play Fields over Jalen Hurts, in my opinion. For the rest of the year. So you got a great trade piece right now. Just go trade him for a depth piece on something you need, running back, wide receiver, tight end, because you can get probably a good player for Fields after that game.
I agree.
Agreed.
Just don't push it.
Whatever your team's missing, like a running back, wide receiver, whatever.
Yeah, just don't push it, because be honest with you, I mean, as long as you're not targeting a Jalen Warren or that type, you're winning that trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yo, Fields or Tua this week? I also have Waddle. It's closer to me here.
Tua has been really hot lately. And the stack with Waddle makes it more appealing. So I think it is.
I have him third.
I think it's Justin Fields.
What?
I think this offense is gonna murder the Lions, man.
Back to back
the Dolphins.
You'd have to put up 120 plus rush yards or something.
I disagree because this Lions secondary is awful too, man. I just think he's going to be able to do whatever he wants against the Lions.
I think the same with the Browns. I think same with Tua. He's good. He has literally just the two best weapons you can have for some reason. He's just going to destroy the Browns.
My thing about Tua is that the Browns are so bad against the run. So I know the Dolphins are going to air
it out.
Which
the Bears were too.
What they do. What's that?
Yeah.
The Bears were really bad against the run too. And look what Tyreek Hill dropped.
Yeah, Bears defense is just bad.
Catches
everywhere. I still lean Fields here.
I trust Tua more.
It is close. Tua's safer. Fields got the higher ceiling for you, obviously, because of the rushing yards and what they're doing with him right now in the game. He's got a good matchup against the Lions here. But like I said earlier, this game has potential because it's a divisional game to be a 10-13 game. And I mean, Justin Fields could not be serviceable when you got somebody like Tua who could throw it to Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle and score like that. And then, if their defense gets a 3-and-out, they're right back on the field. So I just think there's a lot more potential for points this week for Tua compared to Fields. But that is a great conundrum to have down the stretch.
I disagree, but we can move on. We got Jimmy G or T-Law this week. Guys, I'm going Garoppolo.
What?
Jimmy G.
I was going to say T-Law. I thought that was easy, to be honest. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to go Garoppolo.
T-Law on this one. All right, we're going to have to politely disagree, just like I mean, you politely disagree that Kyle Pitts is still starter worthy because you started him against me this week, and I loved it. Thank you.
Fair enough. We got the Arizona Cardinals.
By the way, Dylan, Jimmy G, sorry.
sorry.
Three out of the past four weeks, he's been quarterback 9. Or better.
Yeah, he's been that's solid, nice. Especially since McCaffrey's been there. He just dunked the ball
that's
off
nice.
And
then
just let him
it's
go.
It's just Trevor Lawrence. It won't be surprised if literally the entire second half is just garbage time.
Agreed. Yeah.
It's just
and Chiefs aren't great against
Trevor Lawrence. There's still times where Trevor Lawrence just looks completely lost out there. That's what scares me.
He's still
me.
Kind of a rookie. I mean,
he looks
yeah, but
he's running the ball.
Yeah, he does. But in a big moment, in a big game against the Chiefs, I just he makes
that's,
me a little nervous.
He doesn't. He can shine in garbage time. Shine.
Yeah, he might be able to. He might. But let's jump back into it, guys. We got the Arizona Cardinals at the Los Angeles Rams. Another bad.
This could
game.
Be very, very bad.
Guys, it's you're not starting. You're not starting Kyler Murray this week. Hamstring injury.
No, completely shying away.
He's awful against the Rams. He had his worst game of the year when they played the Rams earlier this season.
Destroyed in the playoffs last year by him.
Yep. You can start James Conner. He's, you know, an RB2. He's not someone you're really excited for anymore. He's another guy who got smacked with the touchdown regression in a bad way for him, though, after he caught, what did he get, 12 touchdowns, 14 touchdowns last year, something absurd like that. You start DeAndre Hopkins, but like Rondell Moore, he's doing the damn thing a little bit the last few weeks.
I'm pretty sure they're above 7. This offense, like, again, this is with Kyler. They like to throw a little bit more, so he gets the targets. But if it's who's the backup for them?
I think it's Colt McCoy, but it's going to be Kyler. He's going to play.
Yeah.
Are you sure it's legit game time decision?
It is a legit game time decision, and Kyler sucks against the Rams, so I'm sitting Kyler this week. If you have
either way, yeah, I wouldn't even be thrilled playing DeAndre Hopkins, but you have to, so
yeah,
you're probably playing Zach Ertz still, just because the tight end landscape is brutal. But like LaPlante said, they're bad against the Rams. I'd probably sit Rondell Moore.
I'm gonna have to look up the stats for Kyler Murray and post another tweet like I've been doing the past couple of weeks for him, how bad he does. Because I remember him just
it's probably
suffering
really
miserably against the Rams. You got to sit him against the Rams. I tried 1 week to start him, and I ate my foot. I ate my words. I mean, you just can't do it against the Rams. I don't know what it is, but go on.
Jumping to the Rams side of things, and I'm just going to make this simple, easy for you. Who are you starting besides Cooper Kupp in this offense?
Man, that's tough because, I mean, Higbee was up there, but he's been kind of real bad lately. Yeah, I mean, he got 6 targets in week 8, only 1 last week. I mean, prior to that was 2, but other than that, he had double-digit targets. I mean, so he's kind of fallen off a cliff a little bit here. I mean.
Good matchup, though.
It's a tough call here. I mean, if you're desperate, I guess you can get away. I mean, I'm gonna puke a little bit in my mouth here, but Allen Robinson, just because he gets the red zone targets, he's right. Getting just enough volume to kind of be relevant. But I mean, in the red zone, I mean, this can't be correct, really. In the red zone, Allen Robinson has more targets than Cooper Kupp, guys. So, I mean, that's good enough for me. It's just this problem is this offense doesn't get to the red zone very much. In a good matchup, hopefully they do.
Sure. Sunday Night Football, guys, this game got flexed into there, which good thing.
Yeah.
But, what am I watching, though? You don't watch Yellowstone. I don't know what I'm supposed to – am I going to supposed to watch the football game or am I watching the 2-hour premiere of Yellowstone? Because that show is absolutely phenomenal.
Now, you really want to watch a 2-hour premiere with commercials?
Let me answer that for you.
Yellowstone's really good, though, man.
You can record
completely throw you off, bro.
You could record one of those and not have it spoiled.
Bingo.
What is that?
Yellowstone.
That's Yellowstone. You're not going to get that game spoiled. You're going to get the Chargers game spoiled. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't fucking watch that game, I'm going to kick your ass because we've got to do the Last Call podcast.
We don't even talk about the Sunday show on it, man. We do it in the middle of it. But anyways,
I'm still gonna kick your ass.
Right on, right on. But We got the Los Angeles Chargers at the San Francisco 49ers. Good game. I'm upset they flexed it here, man, like I just said.
I mean, would outside you had the previous game? What was the other game they flexed out? Do you even know?
I think it was the Steelers game, wasn't it?
Bingo. The Steelers Saints game.
yeah, that would have been that I definitely was watching Yellowstone over that for sure.
Bingo.
But besides Justin Hurt, sorry, Mike, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, hell, we might get an uptick in last call views if that game was playing. Let's be honest.
you're probably right. Outside of Austin Eckler, Justin Herbert, and Josh Palmer, Ike, is there anyone else startable this week against the tough San Francisco defense?
Gerald Everett.
Okay.
Tight end landscape's brutal. Like I've said millions.
You did say Josh Palmer.
I did say Josh Palmer.
You did say.
I think DeAndre
Carter's might be worth a look. Maybe.
Yeah, in deep leagues for sure. Yeah.
Just maybe. I mean, he got 6 targets last week. I mean, the crazy thing is fucking Michael Bandy off the practice squad got 8.
Make no mistake though, it's Eckler and Palmer, and then Eckler some more.
Yeah, it's not a great matchup, so I'm sitting Carter, but it's Palmer, Eckler, and Everett.
Jump into the 49ers, man. They're at full strength, it sounds like. Sounds like Debo's gonna play. We've already kind of talked about Jimmy G sporadically through the show. Borderline starter this week in this matchup against the Chargers. You're starting McCaffrey, obviously. I'm curious, Mike, your thoughts here with Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, and George Kittle all on the field together.
Yeah, I want to know what you know about Ayuk, man. Come on.
Who's the odd man out?
Yes. Sorry, I was paying homage to my buddy Ike over there. The thing is that Debo's going to take one of those guys away. I kind of unfortunately see it being Ayuk.
Fucker.
Ike, I'm sorry.
But why?
I mean, even last week, he only got one more target than Kittle. All right. And let's be honest, George Kittle, I mean, I don't even got to look it up, but I can tell you he's got a higher snap share than Brandon Ayuk the past couple games when he's been healthy.
98, 94, 92 for Ayuk.
Past games.
I'm assuming Kittle's higher because he's starting tight end.
Yeah, so last week, because didn't they have the bye week 9? So, week 8, Kittle played 100% of the snaps.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And then Ayuk played 98, which, I mean, it's close there, but that was without Debo Samuel. So that's what scares me here is Debo Samuel coming in is going to eat into Ayuk the most. I mean, Kittle's not the greatest with tight ends, but Ayuk's going to take the biggest hit, unfortunately. I hate to break your heart.
Yeah, that's interesting. I kind of think it's going to be Debo. I think McCaffrey's going to take a lot of that short area work away from him and some of those
carries. I think Ayuk's better than Debo. That's probably the hottest take you'll hear, but I think he is.
Ayuk's the deep threat here, though. I mean, we know Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't throw deep when he's got players like CMC, Debo Samuel, and George Kittle he can dump the ball off to, you know, within 5 yards. So that's the thing. It's just they don't need Ayuk. If they get in a shootout against like the Chiefs or something, yeah, Ayuk becomes a little bit more viable.
I think lately, though, he's become more valuable than.
That was before CMC, though. The CMC thing definitely changes things because you also got Elijah Mitchell coming back from the IR.
Wouldn't that make Debo probably more or less valuable? Because most of his value came from running the ball and receiving. Now that he's not going to be able to run the ball as much with C-Mac, his receiving is less than Ayuk, which I feel like, I don't know about you guys, but I think
Ayuk's I get that, but I go with past precedent, and I go with the guy who's getting paid way more money. Debo got an extension this year.
But he's paid to do a lot more. And Ayuk's also younger and Dink is paid.
That's why, though, is he's getting paid to do a lot more. That's why I think Debo just gets a little bit more. And Brandon Ayuk's kind of the last man out. He's the left man. He's left out, unfortunately. At least this week. Like I said, it's matchup dependent here on out for Ayuk, in my opinion.
Good thing they're playing a team where it could be high scoring.
It could, but, I mean, it'd be better if he had Keenan Allen and Mike Williams on the other side helping the scoring.
I think this game has blowout potential, to be honest with you. I think the 49ers.
Which way?
The Niners? I think the Niners might blow the Chargers out, to be honest with you.
Chargers aren't playing good.
If the Chargers play like they did against the Falcons, they're going to get blown out.
Mm-hmm. Agreed, Mike. Monday Night Football, last game. We got the Washington Commanders at the Philadelphia Eagles. Taylor Heinicke almost led another comeback for them last week. Or no, sorry, they were leading most of that game over Minnesota, and then Minnesota came late with the comeback. Yeah. I'm curious your thoughts, Ike, here on this backfield. Is Brian Robinson, is he in the same territory as A.J. Dillon as just a high-end handcuff at this point? Or are you still taking
weird that he's,
Antonio Gibson?
It's weird that you can say he's a handcuff, but he's not technically a handcuff because he's technically a starter.
Right, right.
I put him on my drop list because I don't see – he literally has no – for 10-team leagues at least, but he has no receiving game whatsoever. He literally has gotten like maybe two targets on the year, and when you're playing with McKissick and Gibson, you're not going to get any.
McKissick questionable with a neck this week, though, so that could leave a little bit more volume for – but it's the passing work that's going to go to Gibson.
We said he was going to be this great touchdown threat – or whatever on the goal line. He's not getting any touchdowns either. So,
yeah, it's not good.
Can I go game not there? Play him. Yeah. Gibson's the guy you want to play. I don't even like that.
So, the past two games, I want to know your answer. Who you pick? Who's got more red zone attempts, Brian Robinson or Antonio Gibson?
Antonio Gibson.
Yes, it's only by one, but that's the big thing. Brian Robinson is not getting that valuable work anymore. He's just getting
the overdown.
Everyone thought Antonio Gibson was going to be in this role, written off because, I was saying this, the role that Brian Robinson's in.
Oh, gotcha.
People thought Gibson was going to be in this role preseason because of all the news and going to kick return and whatnot. And believe it or not, Gibson's still fucking playing kick return for some reason. But Gibson is still the guy in that passing hybrid role, and he's finally being used correctly. So, unfortunately, Brian Robinson is not droppable yet, but, I mean, I understand if you have to, but you can't
play him. Dude, he's so inefficient, it's not even funny.
That's the thing. You can't play him, unfortunately. Yeah. And that really sucks because it was such a great story, him coming back so soon.
And then, just 10 seconds on Terry McLaurin. The last time these two matched up, Terry, I had a good day. He had, 5 for 113. Didn't find the end zone, but do you expect him to have a similar day with Taylor Heinicke at quarterback, or does James Bradbury, Darius Slay kind of scare you off this week?
He's actually been doing pretty good the past few weeks.
Mm-hmm. With Heinicke, yeah, he has.
Yeah,
his targets have jumped up, 8, 9, and 8, I think, I want to say. I don't love the matchup,
at least the wide receiver two out of the 3 weeks. So,
mm-hmm. It does worry me. He's only finished as a top 20 wide receiver 2 times this season.
And you are correct in that.
Yeah. So his ceiling's just capped so far.
I'm sorry. I'm calling you out right now.
Ike's just 1-2 mid podcast.
No, he needed to go count out 1-2. That was my problem.
I had to look real quick. I was like, touche. But yeah, I don't like playing Terry McLaurin against any team just because I don't like this whole offense. I don't think there's enough. Yeah.
He has been a little bit more viable here with Heinicke, though. You have to admit that.
He has. Yep.
The past couple weeks with Heinicke, he
barely.
Let me go look here.
I think it's 8, 9, and 8 targets somewhere around there. He's
eight and nine, but he just doesn't catch a lot of them.
Yeah.
They're not great passes.
Yeah, all right. They're coming from Taylor Heinicke. It's not like 6 targets coming from Josh Allen, like Gabe Davis, like or anything.
Yep.
Not even good that great at
so week 7 for Terry McLaurin.
You're really gonna come at me with that with Gabe Davis right now when he dropped a
I muted him.
Here's your fear. And it right in his hands and he dropped it like a normal and I got muted. I saw for a second.
Let me give you Dylan's response. It's because he wasn't in the end zone.
Yes. Bingo.
But back to Terry McLaurin.
Overrated. Overrated wide receiver.
We're going to move on to the game at hand here. All right. The past two games for Terry McLaurin, 16.6 points in week 8, 18.3 in week 7. against Green Bay and Indianapolis. So he was viable against a tough matchup against Indianapolis. I do think you can start him this week. It's just temper your expectations against the good Eagles secondary. Mm-hmm.
Then jumping over to the Eagles side of things. I don't know what to talk about here. You're starting Jalen Hurts.
Ike wants to talk about it.
You're starting.
No, I'm mad about Gabe Davis, though.
I guess the really only question here is the Slim Reaper. He's kind of been missing out a little bit. Mike, are you still putting him in your lineups and feeling comfortable about it? Or are you looking elsewhere to like a George Pickens? I know he's my example a lot tonight. He's just
figuring out. Is it
because he's on your roster? Yeah.
You starting Devonta Smith or are you starting Terry McLaurin? There's a better one. Boom. Suck it, Ike.
Terry. Starting Terry over Devonta just because he's getting a little bit more work.
I agree with the point.
It's just a little bit too inconsistent for Devonta Smith. And here's the reason being. The Eagles are always up for the most part. They don't need to throw the ball. And when they are throwing the ball, they're throwing it to fucking A.J. Brown because they spent
– Or Goddard. Round pick.
Yeah, or Goddard. Goddard is – yeah, I can't forget about Goddard there. But he's kind of just being the odd man out. It seems that even though as good as this offense is, because they're always up, it can't support three receiving options at once. Right. I mean, if they play the Chiefs, you know, they play the Bills. Because let's be honest, the Eagles haven't played really anybody challenging this year yet.
Correct.
And this except is probably
Cowboys,
what?
Cowboys without Dak.
True. But this is probably why they haven't had to throw it very much. So once you get in a matchup where Jalen Hurts is a little bit more, you know, challenged, which I don't think it's going to happen because they got the easiest rest of the season schedule. I'm a little skeptical of Devonta Smith, but if you're in a pinch, I understand why you got to start him because, I mean, even week eight, he caught five for he got eight targets. He only caught five of them, but he got eight targets. That's still good enough to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to talk about the yards because it was only 23.
That's nice. But, yeah, guys, that wraps up our week 10 game previews. We got one more question that we can wrap the show with. We got, should I trade Mike Evans for Debo and OBJ? I would actually stay put with Mike Evans. You guys have disagreed with me all night. So if you want to disagree with me,
I'm not disagreeing.
Go right ahead. Nice. Nice. So that's two for Mike
Evans. Again,
Mike,
I don't think, society. I think Ayuk is, I'll just leave it.
And I'm going to assume you're going to go Debo here, LaPlante. And so go ahead, have the floor. What do you think?
You can suck it, first of all. You can read my mind. I agree with you. It's a clean sweep. You don't trade Mike Evans here for Debo and LBJ, but if you can swing out OBJ for somebody else, I just don't trust OBJ. He's not signed on a roster here. He's still coming off the ACL injury. There's no telling how he can be. I'm pretty sure he's 30, 31 years old. I mean,
29.
So, I mean, with an ACL, second ACL, same knee. I mean, he's too unreliable at this point. So if you can get somebody else other than OBJ, pull the trigger for Debo Samuel and that person for Mike Evans. But that trade, no.
Agreed. But guys, yeah, that wraps up the show. If you haven't already, please smash the like button. Please subscribe to the Fantasy Six Pack YouTube channel. We appreciate it. Or wherever you listen to your podcast, you can find us on there as well. Make sure you come hang out with us on the Sunday social live stream. Start Sit Show. It's a good time there.
It's 11. Fun. Ike will bring his six packs. He owes us.
Guys, going to get loose on Sunday morning at 10:30, huh?
Let's go. 11:30 Eastern time. Make sure you're there. And then LaPlante, we're dropping the Sunday recap show, the Last Call podcast, after the games on Sunday. And maybe after Yellowstone. We'll LaPlante and I will have to discuss that a little later. But for Mike and Ike, I'm Dylan. Good luck in your matchups, everybody. And we'll talk to you next week.
Good luck in week 10.